From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made earlier this month in New Hampshire when a 12-year-old named Alexander Smith became the first child that young to get the COVID vaccine outside of vaccine trials. Alex admitted he was a little nervous, but the pediatrician told him it would hurt even less than a flu shot, just a little poke. And Alex had handled plenty of flu shots before. He got the shot, he smiled, he said he was happy to have it done, and as pleased as Alex was, his mother seemed even more so. Or maybe the right word is relieved. The CDC cleared the Pfizer vaccine for kids age 12 and up starting last week. In the first 7 days of eligibility, federal authorities report that more than 600,000 kids got their first doses. President Biden has set a goal of vaccinating 70% of American adults by Independence Day, but the goal of achieving herd immunity nationwide can't happen without vaccinating children. The CDC says the first important strides have been taken, and more vaccine trials are happening right now, examining the safety and efficacy of vaccines in kids of different ages. This hour, we want to hear your questions about vaccinating kids. We want to know how you feel about getting your own children vaccinated. We're wondering how you're approaching the summer with activities or camps or events involving children. And later this hour, we'll hear from kids themselves. Lots of kids of different ages talking about how they see the vaccines. Let me welcome our guests now. Dr. Jennifer Nyack is Chief and Associate Professor in the Department of Pediatrics, Infectious Diseases at Golisano Children's Hospital at Strong. Dr. Nyack, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Dr. Mary Caserta is a professor in the Department of Pediatrics, Infectious Diseases at Golisano Children's Hospital at Strong. Dr. Caserta, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
And Reverend Kelly Spar is a parent. Kelly, thank you for being with us and sharing your story as well.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let me just start with the doctors, and I want to encourage listeners, if you've got questions or comments on this, you can join us, and we'll be taking some of your questions and comments as we go throughout the hour. But Dr. Nyack, let's just start with the overview of where we are in this process, of what is available now. My understanding, it's Pfizer only, 12 and up. People are wondering about Moderna, what we're learning, perhaps others, and what the timeline may be and what's happening now. So the floor is yours. What's going on now?
So right now, you're exactly right. We had the approval come through for the Pfizer vaccine for the ages 12 to 15-year-olds, and Pfizer has been able to be used in the 16 and older population from even before that. There was some new data released from Moderna, and the last I heard is that there's a conversation ongoing with regulators, but I haven't heard of anything, you know, officially moving forward yet. But their data, similar to Pfizer, also looked very promising. And then both Moderna and Pfizer, as well as I believe J&J, have clinical trials that are beginning to look at COVID-19 vaccine use in the younger population.
Okay. And Dr. Caserta, if you want to add to that, how do you see, you know, sort of the realistic timetable coming up here?
Well, I think Pfizer and Moderna are definitely moving forward with vaccinating younger children in clinical trials, and there's been some information in the press suggesting that younger approval that Pfizer might be looking for adding to the EUA for younger children as early as the fall.
All right, Reverend Spar, Kelly, what is going on in your family? How do you see this, and sort of how have you come to approach this issue?
Well, we've been very excited to be able to get my two teenagers vaccinated. I worked in the healthcare industry and was able to get vaccinated early on in the process. And that didn't change my life that much because the kids couldn't get vaccinated yet. So as soon as they approved it for 16 and up, my son went, and my 14-year-old daughter, I think, went the Friday after they approved it last week. So we're very excited to be able to feel safer and be able to resume some of our regular activities.
What is the mindset of, the kids? You're describing, I think, what a lot of parents are facing right now, which is, okay, I'm vaccinated. My kids aren't. What do we do for the summer? What do we do for activities, et cetera? How much do we feel free to do? How much do we kind of pull back on? And I'm curious to know how that kind of push and pull affected your kids and what they thought.
Definitely. So obviously school has been a huge issue for my family and all of the families that are struggling with this. And talking about being able to go back to school next year full time, and then also being able to get together in person with family and friends and kind of resume some of their normal activities. And they are both old enough to have those conversations and have a say in the decisions that they make about their bodies and about getting vaccinated. And we shared a lot of information and articles and talked a lot about it to make sure that we were all on the same page about going forward with vaccines. And they were definitely really excited to be one of the first to be able to go and get their vaccines and start to resume some of their friendships in person and be able to go to the store and things like that.
You know, Kelly, I have to say, I get email, I get feedback, we get tweets and phone calls from people from sort of all kinds of backgrounds and all different mindsets. And one of the things that's a little dispiriting is the idea that, you know, I'm part of some sort of a cabal that is trying to push vaccines on younger and younger kids without, you know, without any sort of regard for safety, et cetera. Look, I mean, like, I'm a dad. My son is 9. I promise I am not doing anything that is going to, I think, put anybody at risk unnecessarily. And in fact, it's the opposite. We are all eager to sort of move forward in life. And so I guess I'm curious to know your own mindset as a parent. You know, did you have any hesitation? Did you have anything that came in to mind for you that said, you know, I don't know, or I don't know, what, let's see what the kids think?
So I have worked in healthcare for a decade and have really been working in healthcare this whole time since the pandemic started. And as a parent, I really talked to my colleagues and the very smart doctors and nurses and professionals that I have an opportunity to work with. And I really didn't have any hesitation about getting myself or my children vaccinated. It was really important to me that we be a part of the solution to this problem. And that was part of the conversation that my teenagers and I had, that, you know, there are people who are choosing not to get vaccinated, and we have to be mindful, especially with the new masking guidelines that came out, that we, again, are being part of the solution and kind of modeling what we believe is safe behavior based on the science. So that has really been our philosophy this whole time, is to really be looking out, not just for ourselves, but for other people. And we really believe that vaccination is the way to go for our whole family. I'm also part of the homeschool community, and there are definitely facets of that community that are very vaccine resistant for religious reasons or fear or misinformation or discontent with the government, you know, all kinds of reasons. It runs the gamut. And I agree that it's very dispiriting to read those things and to try to educate people in a gentle and compassionate way that will kind of help them feel more comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and let me turn back to the doctors on this. I mean, the first thing that we had a chance to watch over the winter were the countries that were vaccinating at faster rates. So we watched Israel, and we watched, under Boris Johnson's decision in the UK, we watched the UK decide to do first doses only to get more vaccines and more arms, as opposed to doing a full vaccination schedule, because the UK was dealing, of course, with a variant there that was extremely aggressive. And so the results there are nothing short of amazing. I mean, unless you think the Netanyahu government is making up a bunch of things that are not true, which, of course, we have seen all of the evidence and the data, it's unbelievable to me how fast the vaccines were able to bring down hospitalizations and deaths. Same in the UK. Their strategy was a little different than ours, but it was very effective. And now when you look at the rates of hospitalization and daily hospitalization and death in this country, it tracks almost exactly with vaccination. It is so compelling. It is so powerful. And I am so grateful for that. I get nothing of it but a sore arm and the knowledge that that we are able to start to move forward in life. And then the question becomes, well, what about our kids? So, Dr. Nayak, let me start with you, and I'll ask both you and your colleague about this. For parents who feel like, hey, I'm vaccinated, do we have to do the kids? should I be nervous about it? Is it the same size dose for them? Can they handle it? Should we wait? Take me through all of those sort of questions that come up for you first, Dr. Nye.
So, I mean, looking at it from a data perspective, you know, we definitely can say that kids have less mortality, and kids generally do better with COVID-19 than do especially older adults. But the pediatric burden of disease is really substantial. You know, kids initially that were relatively unreported, but as this has gone on, and especially as more and more adults have been vaccinated, kids are making up a larger percentage of all cases reported. And we've now had like over 3,800,000 cases reported in children. And of those, it's not always benign. We've had thousands of hospitalizations. We've had greater than 300 deaths. And when you look at, you know, kind of overall outcomes in kids, we also have to take into account multisystem inflammatory syndrome in children, or MISC, which has caused many hospitalizations and severe illness, including cardiac effects in children. So, you know, even though kids definitely do better than adults and older adults, the burden of disease is not insignificant. And this is something, you know, as a pediatric infectious disease provider, you know, we round and we see these kids come into the hospital. A funny story as a parent is that, you know, when the FDA approval came through, before I even had a chance to do anything, my 14-year-old was on the phone with me calling, can you make me an appointment for vaccination today? And I'm like, no, there's a few more steps still here. So, you know, my daughter was very excited. We're still in a partially vaccinated household because my two younger, unfortunately, are still too young. But, you know, there was no doubt in my mind that I wanted to do this both to protect their health, also to protect the health of my parents who are, you know, are older, who live with us part of the time, and who also are, you know, they're vaccinated. But, you know, everything you can do to protect people, in my mind, is a good thing. The vaccine's been very safe, and it's shown to be very effective. You know, and the studies in the teens were incredible in terms of vaccine efficacy.
Can you give us a little bit more about that, you know, from the results that we've seen? Two points on this, and then I'll ask your colleague about this. When you say the results are really good, what exactly do we mean by that? And one of the consistent concerns that we have for people who've been sort of on the fence about vaccines in general is this enough data? Is this enough time? Is this too fast? What are the answers to that, Dr. Nayak?
So as far as the Pfizer efficacy data, the trial looked at about 2,000 adolescents, and there were about 18 cases identified in the placebo group, but none in the vaccinated group. And they're antibody titers, so antibody is the protein that can bind to the spike protein in our bodies and will basically prevent the virus from infecting cells. And the neutralizing antibody titer, so those are the good antibodies that protect from infection, was actually higher in the teens than it was in the 16 to 25-year-old population. And then everyone, you know, obviously for all of us in medicine, we're very, very concerned about safety. And there's no doubt in my mind in the teenage population, there's a lot of arm pain. I mean, what I told my daughter is your arm's going to hurt. And especially after the second dose, you may not feel that great. You know, about 90% of subjects will report some arm pain, will report, you know, fatigue or, you know, feeling achy, fevers, the same kind of things that adults feel when they get vaccinated. That being said, you know, in general, the side effects from the vaccine are, you know, what you would expect from a vaccine and are much less serious and last a much shorter time than what would happen if you actually were infected with the virus. So, you know, definitely looking at the data, you know, yes, you might not feel great for a day or, you know, maybe 2 days, but it's much better than actually getting an infection.
Dr. Caserta, what would you say to, you know, the consistent or maybe the common concerns that parents have raised?
Right. We're pediatricians, so one of the things we like to do is vaccinate and prevent infections and disease in children. And overriding all of these studies has been safety. That is the main goal of all of the studies looking at vaccine in children. And you asked initially about dose as well. So it's true. There are different doses of vaccines in children and in adults. So right now, Pfizer and Moderna are doing their studies where they're looking at different doses in different age children to make sure that they pick the right dose to move forward into the bigger clinical trials. So safety is overriding as the main concern in all of these studies. So I would tell parents that effectiveness is second, or efficacy, excuse me, is second. Safety is always number one for these studies. And similar to the adult studies where there are millions of people who've been vaccinated with data on follow-up, similar to the adult studies, the older kids appear to react in the exact same way, which is very encouraging.
Dr. Caserta, I had read, and please correct me if I'm adrift here, I had read that as Moderna rolled out its vaccine for the adult population, there was sort of a recalibrating of how much of a size of a dose you needed, and therefore we were able to get a little bit more out of the Moderna packages that were sent out, which, you know, not as good for Moderna, but good for us, if that's true. You know, I mean, go ahead.
The dose didn't change. The exact amount of the nanoparticles didn't change per dose. What changed was the vials were a little bit overfilled so that you could eke out the extra dose.
Okay, yeah.
The dose was exactly the same as what was tested and proven to be safe.
On the size of doses, is it common for an adult dose of a vaccine to be different than a dose for a child?
It's not uncommon that adult doses are different. Children have really healthy immune systems in general, and they react beautifully to vaccination, whereas those of us who are older, our immune systems are a little bit more sluggish, and we often require a little bit more of a push to get us to react as much. So, you know, there are different, just as an example, right, children get a different version of the DTaP vaccine. Then once you get to 12, you get the adult version, which are different doses. So, adults would get different doses of vaccine than children. It's not uncommon. And generally often children get lower doses because they don't need as much of a dose to get a good reaction.
Okay. And so is there an expectation that the younger we go with the COVID vaccines, it will be smaller doses? Is that what's happening, or is that not happening, Dr. Caserta?
Well, I know they're testing smaller doses because what you want is to elicit a nice, healthy immune response, but not elicit too much in the way of arm pain or fever, soreness, those sorts of reactions. So I know smaller doses are being tested, and we're excited to see what the results of those are going to look like.
Okay, and when it comes to what we expect, what we need is data. You know, we knew in December that based on history of vaccination, based on the way a lot of respiratory diseases worked, we knew that the experts, the researchers, expected that when the data came in, what we would find out is not only does vaccination protect you, it goes a long way to making sure that you can't have small amounts of COVID and infect others. It's not impossible, but it's very unlikely because of how the vaccines are working. That was the guess, but we needed the data. And the data, happily, has supported that. Is there an expectation that we are on our way to finding the right combination of whatever dose we need, that it would be surprising if something derails the effort to get what we need in terms of Pfizer, Moderna, other companies, and have vaccines ready for kids at some point?
I would expect that the studies will show the most appropriate dose for children. Now, you know, crystal balls in the last couple of years have proven to be quite cloudy. And so,
of course,
the future is not quite set yet. But the studies are designed, I believe, in a way to test enough doses with enough safety checks that when they're done, I believe a correct dose will be chosen for children.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask Kelly Spahr, who's a parent who's on the line with us here. When you talk to your friends who have kids of various ages, what is the prevailing mentality about where we're going with vaccines, Kelly?
Well, I would say that my friends who have teenagers, because of course we can't vaccinate younger children yet, are really enthusiastic about it. And just, I really appreciated Dr. Nayak's story about her 14-year-old. You know, as soon as the news popped up on the cell phone, I had the same experience with my 14-year-old saying, okay, can we go today? Can you make me an appointment? When is this going to happen? I want to start living my life again. And I think that that's been a pretty prevalent opinion amongst my friends and their teenagers, that they're really moving forward with this. And I think also to both of the doctor's points that it is not just, you know, out of a sense of individual protection, but out of a sense of wanting to protect older family members and other people in the community as well, that, you know, the being able to have that safety net is really important for, you know, reducing transmission across the board. So for all of those reasons, it seems to me that at least my circle of friends are pretty enthusiastic about the whole process and really on board with it.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Nayak, is there a sense that when kids are eligible, they're going to be going to do this in any different sort of location? I mean, are we still likely to see pharmacies, et cetera? Are we going to see doctor's offices, pediatrician's offices for this? What do we expect for kids on where they're going to get vaccinated?
So I think, you know, the hard thing with Pfizer is the storage requirements are a little mm-hmm. more difficult. Mm-hmm. That being said, I know my pediatrician's office, I know I've heard from several other pediatricians' offices while taking questions from pediatricians this week that are moving forward with getting the vaccine in the office, because the overall feeling, especially when you get down into younger ages, is that kids will be most comfortable doing this in their medical home. They'll be most comfortable doing this where they go to get their medical care, as opposed to going to a, you know, large mass vaccination site like the Dome Arena. I also have been very impressed. You know, University of Rochester had a clinic over the weekend. That's where I ended up getting my daughter vaccinated. That was it was wonderful. It was strictly for kids. I also got a notification from my school that they're having a vaccine clinic this week. So I think there's a lot of creativity going on to reach the kids, reach them where they're comfortable in order to get them vaccinated. So I think we're going to see more of that. I think we're going to see, you know, schools who want to get kids protected so that they can go back to doing what they're supposed to do in educating children in a, you know, fully in-person system. I think we're going to see schools, we're going to see pediatricians' offices getting much more involved. That being said, I know pharmacies are also, doing the vaccinating 12 to 15-year-olds. So there's a lot of options out there. I think the trick is going to be making sure it's accessible. So, you know, you don't want to have people, drive long distances or go to places that, you know, are far from their house. So trying to make sure it's accessible to everyone in the community.
And just briefly getting Sarah's question, Sarah's just asking about timeline, because we've got 12-year-olds available, eligible now, and the Pfizer, just asking for younger kids, she missed it earlier. Is it the fall? Is it further into the fall or the winter? Dr. Nayak, is there an expectation? Sarah's asking.
So I think, all, as Dr. Caserta said, all of our crystal balls are a little cloudy here. There is the hope that this will happen, you know, come back to school time for at least the older group of the younger kids, so like maybe, you know, the 6 to 11-year-olds. But we don't know that, and a lot of that depends on what the regulatory agencies were doing. For the 12 to 15-year-olds, they approved it kind of on the EUA that already existed for the 16-plus for Pfizer. I don't know that that's something that will be able to happen, and if you have to go for a full approval, the process is a little bit more lengthy, only because I believe, and Dr. Caserta can correct me here, but, you know, you need a longer period of follow-up following the study. The 2 months for the EUA was chosen because in the vast majority of cases, that's when you're going to see any kind of problems from vaccination. But there's a chance that they would, you know, want to wait for a full approval for younger populations. We just don't know yet.
Well, let's hear from some of the kids. Let's take our only break this hour, and we'll come back here with Drs. Jennifer Nayak and Mary Caserta. They're joining us. They are pediatricians, Golisano Children's Hospital at Strong, and not only educating us on what's happening with vaccine research, but answering questions that listeners may have about what happens when kids become eligible. And Reverend Kelly Spahr is here. Kelly is a parent who's sharing her perspective. And we're going to talk to some kids on the other side of this, our only break of the hour. I'm Evan Dawson. Monday on The Next Connections, Dr. Lucy McBride is my guest. Dr. McBride has been writing for national publications, including The Atlantic, throughout this pandemic. Her recent piece is on the fear of returning to normal, the hesitation that some of us have to remove our masks even after vaccination. It can be difficult to get back to where things were, but Dr. McBride says we can do it, and she'll have some ideas for how and why. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson, talking kids and vaccines. And my next guest is a third grader at Anna Murray Douglas Academy School number 12 in the city of Rochester. Brennan Sierra is with us. Hi, Brennan. How are you?
I'm good.
Tell me a little bit about your thoughts about getting a vaccine. How old are you, and what are your thoughts about getting the vaccine in the future, Brennan?
I'm 9 years old, and I think that getting a vaccine is really important. And if more of us get the vaccine, the safer we will be. And so even though that vaccine isn't 100% guarantee against COVID-19, if I get the vaccine, it's great, because then I know that even if my younger siblings don't have the vaccine, we're more safe.
Yeah, and so Brennan, when you think about, like, right now, a lot of the adults in your life are probably vaccinated, right? And
I
wonder how it feels to have the adults in your life vaccinated, but you and your friends can't get vaccinated yet. What's that been like?
Well, I like the fact that most of the adults are vaccinated, because then I know that me and my friends are safer. I'm eager to get the vaccine, and I don't think it's, like, bad that I'm waiting, because we want to make sure that these vaccines are safe on kids my age. But I think that when I can have the vaccine, I will take it, and I think it is good that we don't think that it's going to take up to 3 years for kids in my age group to get the vaccine. And I also think it's good that they didn't give us the vaccine immediately after they came out.
What's been the hardest part of the pandemic for you, Brennan?
I think the hardest part of the pandemic for me has been adjusting schedules and, like, dramatic changes that are, like, plot twists. So when it started, I couldn't go to school, and that was a big change. And so now I am in school, but everything with all the schedules changing because of the CDC rules and everything changing, it's probably one of the hardest parts of the pandemic.
What are you most looking forward to this summer?
This summer I'm looking forward to be able to see relatives and my family, because knowing that they are vaccinated and that they're going to be able to come and not, like, have to be in, like, waiting for 4 weeks before being able to go back to work or something. That's really, it's, like, something that I'm very looking forward to this summer, because I haven't seen some of my relatives in years.
I wish I could share the feedback I'm seeing from people in real time, Brennan, who are listening to you, and they hear so much wisdom. So I'll end on a light note with you. You've got two siblings. You got a brother named Quao. You've got a sister named Carolina. Who's less annoying?
Carolina is much less annoying because my brother is to the point where he has so much energy that he just is, like, I share a room with him, so he's overly annoying. But I love being with my sister. She is not that annoying.
I hope that, for Quao's sake, I hope we keep this recording forever. Listen, Brennan, it's really awesome to talk to you. I know you're going to have a great summer, and I know you're going to get to see friends and family. And I hope that you feel that every day we get a little closer to doing all the things we want to do, because I know we're going to get there. So thank you for sharing your thoughts with us, and I hope we see you soon.
Thank you.
Brennan Sierra, third grader at Anna Murray Douglas Academy, school number 12 in the Rochester City School District. Awesome. So, Dr. Caserta, you know, when you hear a third grader, I mean, that's a lot of wisdom there, I thought. You know, she really gets it, what this is all about here. Do you think we've underestimated kids and how well they've been? I mean, in some ways, I've seen kids handle the pandemic better than adults. What do you think, Dr. Caserta?
Yeah, I think kids are amazingly resilient, and we don't usually give them enough credit in many spheres. So kids took to, they understand hand washing, they understand masks, they do them well, even young kids. And I think we need to give kids more credit for understanding what's happening.
Kelly, do you agree?
I definitely do. I feel like the kids that I talk to are much more adaptable. They are dealing with the masking and the hand washing and the sanitizing and the distancing. And I have watched my own kids just be super responsible and smart about how they are managing this. I do think that we expect a lot of resiliency from kids in general as a culture. And I do worry a little bit about the kind of mental health aspect of the isolation that they've had to deal with. But there's also been a lot of beauty in being able to reconnect as a family during this time. And I feel like we've gotten closer in a lot of ways. So there are, you know, bright spots in this terrible thing that has happened to us. But I do think it has set a lot of kids back in terms of their social and educational experience. So I'm really, that's another reason I'm really excited about the vaccine becoming available for, you know, all age groups, so that they can really resume that kind of normal experience that they should be having.
Well, let's bring in a seventh grader at 12 Corners Middle School in Brighton. James Daly is with us. Hi, James. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Hey, thanks for taking time for us. I want to ask you, James, a little bit about your thoughts about the vaccine. So how old are you? How old are you, first of all?
I turned 13 a couple weeks ago.
Okay. Are you vaccinated?
I'm half vaccinated.
Half vaccinated. When did you get your shot?
I think it was last Sunday.
Okay. And how did it go?
It went good.
It went good. Any side effects? Yeah. Anything like a sore arm, stuff like that? How did you feel?
I had a sore arm, and on Monday I fell asleep for a couple hours, but I think I was caused by the shot, but other than that, I was fine.
Okay. And what did you think about getting the vaccine? Were you excited to get it? Were you nervous to get it? I mean, take me through that, James.
So I was excited because, getting the vaccine, that makes the threat of COVID a lot less. But I was also nervous because I keep hearing all this bad stuff about what happens to people when they get the vaccine. So I was kind of nervous and excited at the same time.
Okay. Did it turn out that, hey, it wasn't so bad after all?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Are you feeling a little bit better about the second shot then, based on how the first one went?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a sore arm a little bit. And you know what? If you get a little bit of a fever or something like that, it won't last long. It's interesting because it's like, even if we get a little sick, we know it'll be gone real soon. But most of us, I don't think, are getting too much in the way of side effects. So before I let you go, James, let me ask you, you know, how you think the vaccine will impact your life, especially as we get ready for summer. Does it change anything for you?
Yes, I think, because it's going to make going to my camp a lot easier, because last year when I did it, every day you were kind of worried that somebody might walk into camp with it and then everybody would leave with COVID, but if you're vaccinated, the threat of that this year is very minuscule, so the chances of that happening are very small.
Well said. James, what are you most looking forward to this summer?
Probably going to camp and seeing all my friends.
Awesome. I hope you have a wonderful summer. James is a seventh grader at 12 Corners Middle School in Brighton. James, good luck to you. Thanks for taking time to share your thoughts with us.
No problem.
James Daly joining us. And while we wait to get another child on the line talking about their experience. Dr. Nayak, I'm struck by listening to Brennan, listening to James, how well educated and how much, frankly, they understand this. That has been a powerful thing for me to see kids who have really gotten their heads around what it's all about, more maybe in more detail than I expected.
Yeah, I mean, I think what I've been telling people, you know, parents who ask me, you know, people either through work or through, you know, my daughter's friendships, things like that, is, you know, really have a conversation with your children about this. No, you know, you are the parent, and ultimately, you know, yes, you do have, you know, decision-making power, but you should really have a conversation with your kid. This is the vaccine. This is what it's going to do. These are the pluses, and these are honestly that you could have a sore arm, you could feel kind of cruddy the next day. You know, really let them in on the decision making, because I think one of the things that's most scary for children is to be left out, to not understand what's happening, to not understand what are the good things and what are the bad things that can result from this. And especially when we're talking about, you know, the school age population, you know, the teenage population, they can understand things. You have to keep it at a developmentally appropriate level, but they can really, they should be a part of the decision making at that age.
Well, let's bring in another child, a seventh grader at Drake Junior High in West Irondequoit. Aubrey is with us on the line now. Hi, Aubrey. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us on the radio today. Aubrey, tell us about vaccination for you. I think I've heard that you've gotten one shot so far. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Tell us how it went.
Overall, it wasn't bad.
Okay. What do you mean? What do you mean by it wasn't bad?
It was just a pinch. It didn't hurt at all. I had no symptoms at all. So, I mean, it was good.
Did you expect to have symptoms?
I thought I was, but I was very surprised that I didn't. But I was glad that I didn't.
Okay. And do you think it changes your life?
Yeah, well, COVID definitely did, but I'm glad that the vaccine is out, so then, like, school can go back to normal. Things can start going back to normal.
And what is at the top of the list for you, Aubrey? What have you sort of feel like you've been missing the most during this pandemic?
Definitely being full-time at school.
Mm-hmm. Is that what you're looking forward to most in terms of what's going to change or change back, kind of?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. How would you say that the learning experience has been not being full-time at school? How has that gone for you?
For me, it's definitely harder because I don't really like doing it online. I prefer learning in person, so it's definitely harder to, like, do all my work, but...
Okay, and you get your next shot coming up when?
I don't know exactly. I believe it's in, like, a week or something.
Okay. Are you eager to get that behind you?
Yes. I just kind of want to get it done with.
What are your friends who are your same age saying about this? And would you say that most of the kids you know that are your age are or are not going to get vaccinated so far?
Most people I know are getting vaccinated. And I know they're excited too because they want to get back to school. And, you know, want to start doing more stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there something this summer that stands out that you're looking forward to?
I'm going on vacation with a friend, so we really just want to get vaccinated so we can go.
Probably had a fewer opportunities like that last summer, huh?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Aubrey, good luck to you. I'm glad to hear you're doing well, and I really appreciate the wisdom and the insight. Thanks for joining us today.
Of course.
That's Aubrey, seventh grader at Drake Junior High in West Irondequoit. One shot down, one to go, and so excited to go on vacation with her friend. Think about that. Think about the kids who are just feeling like, you know what, we hung in, we did what we needed to last summer, but can we get back to where we want to be this summer? Can we do more? I think it's just beautiful. Really great stuff from Aubrey. I appreciate that very much. For listeners who have asked about getting their kids into vaccine trials, Dr. Nyack or Dr. Caserta? I guess I'll start with Dr. Nyack. For parents who are wondering, are trials still going on and are kids still eligible to get in?
So, yeah, we are currently anticipating starting the Pfizer trial, looking at kids who are 6 months to 11 years old in really eminently, like within the next few weeks. And we're also going to be participating in the Moderna trial for kids who are in the same age range, possibly a little later in the summer. So we've had a lot of interest. You know, obviously not everyone who's interested is going to be able to get in, but if parents are interested in signing their kids up, you can go to the Bring Rock Back website, and if you click under Vaccine Study Facts and then click on Get Started, you can sign out an I'm Interested form basically for your children and potentially get involved in the trial.
It's the Bring Rock Back website.
Yep.
If you want to see if you can get a child in there. So it looks like there's still a chance to do that. And just to stress the point, Dr. Nyack, yes, this is a trial. Yes, there's a lot to learn, but these are probably very tightly designed. Would you feel pretty comfortable that kids are going to be safe in these trials?
Yeah, the focus of these trials, first and foremost, as Dr. Caserta said, is on safety. That's the main thing that we're looking at. The first part of each of these trials is looking at finding the correct dose. And they start with the oldest kids and the lowest dose and work the dose up and work the age of participating children down to make sure that we have an appropriate dose for each of the age groups. And then from there, you move into kind of a randomized, meaning we don't know what people get. It's kind of like flip of the coin. Placebo-controlled, meaning a certain number of people in the trial will get something known to be safe, like salt water, and another group will get vaccine. So placebo-controlled trial that's blinded, meaning the people conducting the study don't know what they're getting, to really look at safety. So to understand how the vaccine is and what are the side effects in each of the age groups that we're looking at. So the focus really is first and foremost on safety. We're not expecting any major problems, but because kids do tend to have very strong immune systems, we do need to pay attention to what is the, right dose to give children of different ages so that you can balance the side effects, things like arm pain or, development of fever with effectiveness, so wanting to know that the vaccine works.
Well, let me bring in one. Go ahead. Is that Dr. Caserta?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt.
No.
We're going to be conducting the later phases of the trial, so when we enroll, the doses will have been chosen. That's ongoing right now at some other centers. So once they pick the right doses, then we'll be ready to start enrolling larger numbers of children into the next phase, which is the final phase, where we look at safety primarily, but also how much immune response is made, and if possible, if there's efficacy, if there's enough cases of COVID to look at efficacy.
All right, let's bring in another seventh grader. This is a seventh grader at Barker Road Middle School in Pittsford. Lily Nicandri is with us. Hi, Lily. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Well, thanks for joining us, Lily. Seventh grader, you're how old?
I'm 13.
Okay. Have you gotten any doses of vaccine yet?
Yes, I got my first dose last week on Saturday.
Last week. And how did it go?
Good. I was a little nervous for it at first because I just heard that people were getting after effects after they got it. So, yeah.
And did you have any?
I just had, arm pain, I guess. But that's just usually normal for shots, so.
Totally normal, yeah. Okay. But no other symptoms for you?
No.
Does it make you feel better about getting the second shot?
Gotcha.
When you were, kind of before you got the shot, when you were talking to your family about it, what was the main reason that you wanted to do it? What did you think about it?
I just wanted to get back to school, see my friends, because obviously online school is harder for kids to learn on, and it could affect the future for them. So, yeah, that's what I was most excited about.
What changes most quickly for you now that you've gotten one? You'll get the next dose in a couple of weeks. Once you're fully vaccinated, Lily, what do you think changes the most for you?
So, like, everyone's been adapting to, like, the new normal, I guess. So if we get back to normal, then I get to see my friends, and we won't be, like, worrying too much about it, and we'll be less, like, stress-free, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, you know, with this dividing line right now, 12 years old and up, you're in the category that you can get vaccinated. If you or your friends have younger siblings, they can't yet. They will soon. Mm-hmm. But when you think about this summer, does it feel like you're going to have a sort of normal summer compared to last year?
It'll definitely be way different for me. It'll be safer, definitely. And it'll feel safer than last year.
Mm-hmm. What's been the hardest part of the pandemic for you, Lily?
I think online school, because getting all my work done and getting it handed it in, and like not seeing my friends, and like, yeah.
And now when you talk to your friends, do most of your friends of your age, do they plan to get vaccinated? Have they gotten the first dose? What are you hearing?
Most of my friends have gotten the first dose, like, as I heard. Yeah. And if they're not, they're going to get it soon.
Well, I'm really just grateful for you and what your classmates are doing. I think it's important, and I think it's really awesome to hear not only you, but Aubrey, James, Brennan, a great group of kids talking to us. Lily, good luck to you. I'm sure you'll do great with the second dose, and I hope you have the best summer of your life this year. I think it just might be the best yet because of everything that we have in perspective. Thank you, Lily. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Awesome stuff. Lily Nicandri, seventh grader, Barker Road Middle School in Pittsford. And when you hear the kids, you know, describing, Kelly, you were saying that we do have to keep in mind the mental health impact on kids, what this has been like. And when you hear them, they're tough, they're resilient, but it's clear they've all been impacted in different ways. Sometimes it's learning. Sometimes it's the lack of access to friends, the cancellation of plans just to see people. I don't even know how we would even measure, Kelly, what we're going to get back for kids when we go forward with this. I mean, I'm sure you can't measure it, but it's got to be profound, don't you think?
I definitely think it's profound. I have heard my own kids say exactly the same thing as all the kids that spoke so eloquently today about their excitement to be able to go to summer camp and see their friends, and how difficult it has been to do school remotely and online. I mean, that has definitely been the experience of my family as well. And I think that one of the hardest things is that they also have older siblings that live outside of the house that we really weren't able to see hardly at all for this entire last year. And I think that has been one of the most healing things of the vaccination process for us, is being able to come back together with our extended family and reconnect and spend time in person together. And I really hope that people have that opportunity to do some healing this summer as the vaccination numbers increase and people are feeling safer to be together, because I do think our kids are resilient, but they also are kids, and I'm really excited to see them live a kid's life again for the rest of the summer and next year. I think it's going to be really important for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And Drs. Nayak and Caserta, if I give you about 30 seconds apiece, just some final thoughts you want to leave with listeners as we wrap this hour. Dr. Nayak first, go ahead.
I think that it's been wonderful to hear from so many kids who are, you know, ready to get vaccinated, get themselves protected, and who are going to be able to, because of the vaccine, get back to much more of their what their life was like before the pandemic. I know for my family, getting back to summer camp, getting back to being able to see friends, see family is going to be a huge thing. So, and it's wonderful to hear people say that their friends are going to get vaccinated as well, because, I mean, obviously the vaccine only works as well as, you know, the people who take it.
Yeah.
You can't get protection if you're not vaccinated.
And Dr. Caserta, 30 seconds.
I'm looking forward to being able to vaccinate everyone, not leaving children out.
I'm grateful for your perspective, for all of our guests, and for the kids. And for people listening, we've had such lovely messages from listeners who were touched by what they heard from the kids. Let's not underestimate our kids. Let's continue to remind ourselves how remarkable they've been during this pandemic, how much they've had to sacrifice, and how much they're about to get back. They've been amazing. Reverend Kelly Spahr has had so much to share this hour. And Kelly, I just want to thank you for doing that. Thanks for being with us, and good luck to you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
And Drs. Nayak and Caserta, great stuff. Dr. Nayak, thanks for taking the time and educating the community. Good luck in all of the efforts with this.
No problem. Thanks so much for having me on.
Dr. Caserta, same. Thank you so much for the perspective.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
From the whole team here, it's Rob Braden, Emma Ray Stein, Megan Mack, Evan Dawson. Thanks to Barsuk Records and Ra Ra Riot for the music. And wherever you are, I hope you're healthy and happy, and I hope you have an absolutely spectacular weekend. We're back with you Monday on Member Supported Public Radio.